Greetings and welcome to STL Soccer Talk, soccer podcast here with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLtoday.com. I'm Tom Timmerman, beat writer, covering City SC for the Post-Dispatch. And with me, as always, as has become the norm over the past 2 years now?
Yeah, just about.
Is Beth O'Malley. Hello, Beth.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's nice to have you. Unfortunately, we don't have a nice topic to discuss.
Yeah, I may be glad to be here, but man, watching that game was painful because, I mean, there's a point in that game where I'm like, okay, 0-0, like the most boring score in soccer, and the team will have to deal with it, and they don't score again, and then it went downhill. They fell off the cliff.
It went downhill, wound up in a ditch, and it was a 2-0 loss.
Yes.
And which means three losses in a row, three shutouts in a row.
Right.
A really huge number of minutes since they last scored a goal.
Yeah.
Because you have to go back to the 15th minute of the previous game. So 345 minutes of my math is correct or not?
I'm not going to double check your math. I think we have already
90 times 3 is 270, right. And then 270 plus 75, 345. So,
it's been even longer than that since Klaus has scored, which is, I think, maybe Klaus. Not that Klaus is the problem. Clearly, he is not.
Klaus, no, because nobody on this team has more than one goal.
Right.
This year.
Right. I mean, it's a team problem that they're not scoring, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Definitely.
But that Klaus in particular isn't scoring is a problem. And it's only going to be a bigger problem every week that we have to point this out. Because he's being paid a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being paid that money to be a specific thing on the field. And he's not doing that.
He is not. And Cedric Toyard and Marcel Hartl and mm-hmm. whatever. But I was talking to somebody else after the game on Saturday and saying, look, there's nothing positive. You can't come away from this game and say, but on the bright side, you know, this happened. You know, no. I mean, when you've lost three in a row and haven't scored a goal, you know, since March the 15th.
So right. They
will, depending on when that goal comes, they will go almost a month, at least almost a month, without scoring a goal.
You know, the team earlier this month in April posted a goal of the month for last month. What are they going to do? It gets to May and they haven't scored yet. Attempt of the month.
Mm-hmm. But if there is anything, was that the starting combination of Klaus and Celio Pompeo
mm-hmm.
And Marcel Hartl was up there.
And Wallum.
And Conrad Wallum, who was moving around the field, who was at one point on the left and then went from the right to the left.
Yes. And yet I thought he had – I don't want to say a breakout game because that wouldn't imply that he scored or mm-hmm. that somebody scored.
Uh-huh.
But I think he had a really good game.
Yes. Yes, he did. No, the chances – he could have had a goal. Mm-hmm. He could have had an assist.
He hit the woodwork.
His shot hits the post and misses by a smidge. He plays a almost perfect ball into mm-hmm. the box that Akil Watts – can't handle.
Right.
I asked Akil about that today. He said, everybody's asking about that. And, and I said, well, here, why don't you tell me? And he said, I positioned myself and I moved my right foot forward to be ready to knock the ball in, and it hit my left knee. So mm-hmm. I was waiting there with the right foot to put it in, and it hits the, you know, it ball didn't end up where I thought it was going to end up. And,
right.
And there went, and it was weird as that. I mean, it hits him in the leg, and then it just bounces. It doesn't, you could have a ball hit you in the box and have it bounce into the net or bounce
right.
in here. This ball hit him and bounced, you know, yards away to the side.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even bounce. Even the bounces aren't going City's
no.
way. But And I think you pointed out during the video that the movement, the problem keeps moving closer to the goal. Mm-hmm. So as you were saying, mm-hmm. and I don't want to, please take it away.
Go. Well, no, they went from having trouble with possession.
Right.
Went to have trouble to then against Austin. They got the ball deep, but then they couldn't get it into the box. Mm-hmm. And then this time they got the ball into places like that and just couldn't get it to go in.
Right.
And I was talking to Klaus today, and he was saying, yeah, we've got to be more tactical. We've got to be more calm with the ball when we get in those situations mm-hmm. to what we're going to do and to get the ball in the net. And, you know, he's like, you know, look, it's only three games, you know. Now, the problem is that your next game is Columbus, which is a really good team. And then after that, I think you got Vancouver after that, which is another team that's, doing well. It's mm-hmm. They're in a
rough spot to try to turn around this season.
Columbus is four wins, zero losses, and three ties. And then Vancouver, first place in the West, five wins, one loss, one tie. Mm-hmm. So two of the best teams in the league. And so they've got to get better against these teams.
Right.
Or this three-game losing streak could be a five-game losing streak without a whole lot of complexity. Because they do play in the next 2 weeks the two best teams in the Supporters Shield standings right now. And
if there was a time to kind of like break a streak of bad games, which this mm-hmm. team has had or had before Saturday, it would be against a team that had never won yet this season, which was Kansas City. But Kansas City was also coming in, you know, they fired their coach. There's always a post-coach firing bounce. There needs mm-hmm. to be like a German word for that.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
There's a German word, and it probably had 238 letters. And
probably it would be even worse than post-coach firing bounce. But that's exactly what happened with Kansas City this week. And then their social media took the opportunity to turn around the Nebraska Furniture Mart slam that City has been using against their stadium and basically said, stop our selection of L-shaped couches on your way out. And it was like, yeah, okay, touche. It was a great post. It was very fun.
Well, good. Yeah. There were, I would say, ill will, but they had a little pushing and shoving after the game. As a Kansas City player, we went to the supporters where the City SC fans were mm-hmm. sitting in a corner and kind of told them to, you know, made a shushing sound, and was then greeted by lots of CSC players. It didn't get completely out of hand, but there was a
it didn't look like it got out of hand. You had the ability to watch at the park. I was at home on the Apple, and they were showing some of that. So mm-hmm. it didn't look like it got too bad. But
no, it had the potential to.
Right.
But I think there were a couple Sporting KC players that went in there and grabbed their players in the middle and said, okay, guys, let's get out of here.
But you could see on the broadcast, you could see the City supporters. You could hear them at times. It looked and sounded like a great game, at least for the fans in the stands, not necessarily the play on the field.
Yeah. There was a, by the way, post-coaching change bounce in German would be aufschwung nach dem Trainerwechsel.
Right. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah. And I can only hope that Google is translating this correctly. But
and that you haven't just said something horribly in German.
Yeah. For our error, I may be apologizing to all our German listeners. And who knows?
Or called yourself a jelly donut.
Yeah. Sporting Kansas City, like City Park, where City has City written in the stands, and mm-hmm. you can't, when it's empty, you can see it. And Sporting Kansas City has Sporting written, and there were enough fans not there that you could still read Sporting in the stands there. And then in the corner, there were a good number of City SC, and the number I heard was like a 1,000, 1,200 fans, and most of them in the corner, and then some sprinkled all around.
Yeah, I know that. I believe there were at least two supporters groups that sent like buses.
Yeah.
So definitely a concerted effort to get fans over there.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, Kansas City is a great town. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kansas City, Missouri is Kansas City, Kansas. Has less going on. Oh, how nice it would be if this was. Well, if they'd built a stadium on the Missouri side.
That is part of the Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Yeah,
it is. Slam, yeah, against that stadium. It's but Kansas. I do enjoy that you asked Kessler what he calls Kansas and or this the upcoming opponent, and he looked at you like you were in Kansas City.
Because, as you know, most City SC players refer to the opponent as big as Kansas.
Yeah, the Europeans definitely take it just as Kansas.
It's just Kansas, rather than not apparently appreciating that City is part of the
town.
It's something that I was going to say that's less common in Europe to have, but you have in Mexico and Spain you have Ciudad. In Mexico, you'd have Ciudad Juarez, things like that.
Right.
But I don't know if Germany has. But I guess Berg, or whatever, means city and is part of many.
Right, but it's not usually part of the – I mean, the other problem with it is that so many of the MLS teams, including City, have taken, let's just add city to it, and that'll be our team name.
Yeah. Let's get back to soccer.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
we have gone even like three levels of
– But fine. This is so unusual that
I'm restoring order. Yeah, I know. I'm not quite sure how well that's happening. it was a game that was there to be won.
Yes.
And talking to Olav Melberg today, he was saying, you know what? I mean, that looked more like a 3-0 game than the Galaxy game that we won 3-0 looked like a 3-0 game. This was a game we should have won 3-0. And they didn't do it. And one of the things we talked about earlier was, earlier not on this podcast, but in previous episodes, was that beating the teams you should beat. And when another team is struggling and not going well, beat them, and it's there. For whatever reason, there's injuries, they're in bad form, win those games. And they haven't done it.
They haven't done that, and they haven't done it for several weeks now.
Yeah. Now, they did show more of an offensive bent. There were kind of more attacking players on this one.
And for a while, I mean, like it looked like it was working, as you were trying to say earlier. The connections were being made, and the players on the field definitely looked better. But I feel like near the end of the game, it started falling apart a bit.
Well, and Melbourne was saying the last 20 minutes of the game were not good at all. And then we totally blew the last 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah,
and that for 70 minutes, we were there and we looked presentable. And then at the end, for whatever reason, they lost it. The combination of Klaus and Pompeu and Marcel Hartl and then Konrad Wallum coming out of the back and getting forward worked really well.
Yes.
And Melberg suggested today that, while we look at each game and decide what's best, but yes, that combination did work with what we got from Pompeu's runs and Klaus's presence, and that it worked great, as well as as good as any combination they've had this year. Célio Pompeu, I think, is the linchpin in all this, because Célio Pompeu gives this team something that no one else on this team brings, and that he can, on the dribble, take the ball, take on opponents, challenge them, get around them, get in position, and score goals.
Right.
Or at least create chances. And nobody else on this team has, someone can make a pass and the other person will run onto it, but no one else will dribble the ball into
and then out of
and out of trouble. And you saw Wallum make runs, but they tended to be to down the wing to the end line and then coming in. But Pompeu can attack and go enter the box at the top. I mean, he just is dangerous, and no one else on the team can do that.
Right,
and they need, and that is, I mean, it provides an entirely different dimension to the team than just we're gonna put in crosses and hope
and,
that it,
and no one is gonna be there because no one else is making that run.
Yeah.
Pompeu makes that run.
Yeah.
Makes it with the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pompeu was on a minutes limit on Saturday, so they were looking to take him out. After 60 minutes, he went a little long. He went 65, so they kind of cheated and kept him out there a little bit longer, but then took him out. But you would think that by now he can stretch him and use him more, mm-hmm. and maybe get, because I think Tellio was good to go more.
Right.
You know, if the training staff hadn't said, look, we got a minutes limit on him because he's coming back from an injury, and he would have gladly gone 90, given the chance.
Yeah, probably. But I also think, you know, training staff is there for a reason, to say, for the players as much as anything else.
And considering the number of injuries
this
team has right now, it is kind of like last week, like last year. I mean, they're down. I mean, they the players they did not have available on Saturday.
While you list them, could you give an update if you have one?
The updates are slightly vague.
Okay.
Right now,
but go ahead and list the players they didn't have available.
So Roman Berkey,
right.
And I'll list them and then I'll give like little updates.
There we go.
On.
Okay.
So Roman Berkey. Out with a fracture in his hand, and he's been on the practice field, and so normally they have three goalies on the field. Today they had four, so they had the three guys they're working with, and then Berkey. Now Berkey did not have gloves on, and he was like kicking balls to Ben Lundt in goal and things like that. So he hasn't made saves yet, but he's doing all the other physical stuff that he needs to do. And since he's a goalie, as Milberg said, like, you know, once he gets cleared, he only needs like a couple days of practice and he's good to go.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, he was supposed to be out about a month, and Ben Lundt has played the last four games. So I don't know if he plays this week, but he is close to returning, I would say. Edward Leuven, personal reasons, has not gotten better. He is still, he was not at practice today, still remains unclear when he returns, but again, not at practice today. Rasmus Alm, who is another guy that gives them something different offensively,
right.
The runs he can make, is on the field running now. So he has left the confines of the training room and has come onto the practice field, but he's doing all of this after practice is over.
Mm-hmm.
So I would put him in still a ways away.
Gotcha.
Jonas Horn, who had a quad injury, was on the practice field, but not practicing with the team, and was doing some running. He did some very slow laps around the practice field where practice was going on, did some stuff at a little higher level. So he's still iffy. Again, we'll probably have a better idea on Thursday or on Friday, because this is a Sunday game, so we won't see him again until Friday. Thomas Totland was with the team for the first stages of practice, so he did running with them and the early conditioning, and then when they broke up into on-field practice sessions, he stepped aside and didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be he would be an invaluable acquisition, return. Jaden Reed is still working on the side. 2 weeks ago, he told me 3 weeks, so maybe he's now at 1 week. And then Joachim Nielsen, the new entry into this competition, who left the game in the first half. They left after, 26 minutes he came out, holding his leg, which is never a good thing considering just the number of injuries he has had while here. The MRI or CT or whatever they did on it didn't show anything.
Okay.
So that's good in that it's, you know, it doesn't show anything really serious.
Right.
But he still, I think, is in some pain, and we'll have to see how his week plays out.
Right.
And Chris Durkin, who missed the game, is not training and he hasn't. So anyway, so I don't know if he had enough fingers.
I think that was eight.
Eight. So is eight and six of them, legitimately starters.
Yes.
At some point this season.
Right.
So this is a significant injury, and I think when you take out Lubin and take out Durkin, mm-hmm. you know that's a that takes kind of the center of the core out of the team.
Right.
And if when you take Totland out, then they're not as good on the right wing getting forward. Yeah.
Yeah, and we talk about that spine of the team,
mm-hmm.
and Durkin and Lubin are certainly an integral part of that.
Yes, they are key spinal players on this team.
Yes.
And so I asked Melberg today, I said, you know, what is it going to take for Timo Baumgartel to get in a game? And because now this would seem like
his
the
moment.
Best chance ever, because if Nielsen can't play, mm-hmm. you need a center back. And if Horn can't play, you need a left back. And so if you did what they did and they had Hebert or Wallum over there, you know, if you have Hebert there and Wallum in more attacking role, then you need another center back, and then your options are Baumgartel or Michael Wenzel. And let me sift through my notes here.
It has been a bit of a mystery why he hasn't appeared more during game action. You're still scrolling,
mm-hmm.
but I've run out of things to say.
Yeah, he continues to work hard like he has been. Again, we have the situation. We have a lot of injuries, center backs, but it's not impossible that we will see him on the pitch soon. But I think you can make the case that if he doesn't play this week, then you got to wonder.
No, really,
what's going on?
Yes.
That's they did get Jake Goodwood-Reich back. He mm-hmm. was in the lineup on Saturday. He didn't play. He was on the roster. Say, mm-hmm. depending on how you want to define if lineup people are actually in the, playing on the field or whatever.
And they also brought in a forward.
They brought in Emil Jaskalainen mm-hmm. From City 2. And
who didn't make it on the field.
Who did not make it on the field. Melbourne only made three subs in that game.
Yes.
And one of them was dictated by injury, and another was dictated by Pompeo having a minutes limit.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was Alfredo Morales coming out after the 80th minute for Cedric Toyert. And I guess that says that Melberg liked what he was getting from Klaus and didn't want to sub him out, that Jaskalainen was going to bring something that he didn't already have. That's the way to look at it.
Melberg, after the game, also seemed to be saying, we were playing as well as the players I have available are letting us play.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, would you agree that that's what he said? I mean,
I think I asked him the question about that. And, yeah, and that was his response. And it was weird because it sounded – because I asked him about last year's team, which was scoring a lot of goals, and it almost –
He didn't answer the question.
Yeah, but it almost sounded like he felt that was maybe out of character for them.
right. I mean, because he did basically say you have to look at the player over a longer period of time
yeah.
and look at, the scores that they also don't make. And
mm-hmm.
He also seemed to be saying that he still didn't really know the players on the team. He was still getting to know them and learn about them, mm-hmm. which certainly as a new coach coming in, I'm sure, mm-hmm. some time that you have to do that, but it's been now quite a number of weeks.
It's since the middle of January, so
yes.
We're in the middle of April
right.
now. So,
I was surprised to hear both of those things that he was saying.
Mm-hmm. It's, and maybe when all of Melberg says I need to know that he wants to know them at a level way above you know,
how they perform on the field
and how every aspect of their game and what they'll do in this situation. And if Celio Pompeo, I was surprised to think that Pompeo had a minutes limit just because mm-hmm. he played his first game the second week of the season. Mm-hmm. They got him back in for some minutes. And if, I was just thinking with all the practice, he's been at every practice since then that, you know, I don't, again, he's coming back from injury, but he's been practicing for a month and a half now, you know.
I mean, he's coming back from injury. It was a pretty substantial injury.
It was a pretty substantial injury, definitely yeah. so.
So I don't know what that type of management looks like after mm-hmm. the level of injury that he had and the surgery that he had to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a rough time. This team
yes.
is, and, you know, the players I talked to today, though, were of the mind that, look, it's not, you know, we like the chances we've created. These are situations we know what we have to do better,
mm-hmm.
We can do that, and we remain confident mm-hmm. that we can do that.
So still an optimistic.
Yeah. Someone was noting that it was quieter at practice today, though really over the past 6 months or whatever, many of the noisiest players on the team are no longer here. Tim Parker, Indiana Vasilev, you know. Milberg today noted that Vasilev would be – that they could use Indiana Vasilev right now because they – let me find what he said about Indy here. You may have to talk slowly.
Well, yeah, because some of those gaps at midfield, not that Indy was a one-to-one with Leuven, but – he could certainly help the midfield move the ball in those transition moments much better than some other players that I can think of. Although, again, I think clearly the team has to rely on who they have, and Wallum has shown that he's a player to watch going forward.
Yeah. So he brought up Vasilev mm-hmm. On his own, and he was asked about the lack of attack out of the on the right hand side, because they just were not getting forward there. And he says it has a lot to do with personnel on the right side. At the moment, we don't have any left footed players or attacking left footed players, which affects us a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We had Indy, who did really well for us in that position as an option, but unfortunately, we lost him. So we have to find other ways with the quality that we have.
Didn't lose Indy so much as sent him.
They did trade him away.
So,
and it was a matter, and they got a good return for him.
They got a good return, and at the time, I think both of us praised or said good things about that move.
Yeah, so. Yeah, and I mean, how those minutes would come, we're going to be tough. But at this point,
hindsight is 2020.
Yeah, yes. But at this point in time, when you, when you take all of a sudden Leuven and Durkin out of the combination, all of a sudden you get a little more mm-hmm. gloomy. But, you know, Vasilev has run into kind of the same numbers problem in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Where
he hasn't played quite as much as expected.
Well, depending how much you would have expected. But, yeah. but going into the situation that he was going into, let me pull up the Philadelphia numbers here. He started the game against City, but that was his first start, and that's the only game he started.
Mm-hmm.
So he's played in six games, has started one. That was the City game. 206
and
minutes.
Knowing Carnell started him that game for a reason.
Yeah. Well, two reasons. One, because they were playing City. Two, because they had six guys on international duty that week. But yeah, but Vasilev has played 206 minutes,
yeah,
which is three games and 26 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's coming in. But I would say this is a case we made times that Vasilev would be a very effective player coming in as a 60th minute sub, which
immense,
is kind of what he's doing.
An immense amount of energy right off the bench.
And that can be a tough sell mm-hmm. for players.
Yes.
And if Indy's accepting it well, but that's how he's being used. Tim Parker has made one start with Red Bulls,
by the way. Yeah.
He's got 91 minutes, I think, on the season.
Yeah, in hindsight, that trade was excellent.
What City SC has gotten out of Henry Kessler, who, I mean, MVP of this team? You know,
on a team where no one is scoring. Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I mean, especially with Berkey out. If Berkey comes back and plays, then he would be the nominee
I will also say Lunt has done very well. He's been making saves. We're not sitting here talking about, well, had Berkey been on the field, it would be a different story. That is not the case in these games. So it certainly is not like Lunt's. Mm-hmm. Lunt is playing well, I guess it's might.
Yeah. I wanted to say about Joachim Nielsen.
Yes.
That you just got a feel for the guy.
Yes. He went down and my heart broke.
Yeah. I think everybody's heart broke. I was talking with somebody else in the club today who said it's just heartbreaking seeing him in the training room again. And because, I mean, there are – how much of his time here has been spent rehabbing from injuries?
Yes.
And it's just, it's always, and then let me look at the numbers here. The most consecutive games he's played at full strength.
It can't be very high because I was thinking the same thing. Like the poor guy, he comes out and he plays a couple of games. You're going to tell us how many. And then it seems like something happens. And like last season, it looked like he was maybe going to come out of it and it didn't happen.
Yeah. So in the first season, he started 7 games but went the full 90 in only 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a solid case to be made that he didn't look at the top of his game. Whatever you were expecting Joachim Nielsen to bring, you weren't seeing it. You were seeing only
– You were seeing a ghost of him.
Yes,
of
a ghost of himself.
Yes.
And then in season 2,
Tom had to switch from a pen and ink notebook to his digital notebook.
which has multiple seasons in it. In the second season, it was probably like the first 6 games of the second season he did full 90. He did 90 minutes in 5 of the 6, and one of them was with the rotation with the play in Houston in the Champions Cup that he only played a half.
Right.
And then he got hurt, and then he didn't play for a while, and then he needed 4 games to get it up to strength, and then he played 4 games, and then he got hurt again.
Uh-huh.
And then he, missed – most of the season, came back with 4 games to go. And again, I don't know that, played 90 minutes in only one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, and they've been different things. I mean, the knee injury that he had in training camp. I mean, I talked to him in training camp and he said, I'm so looking forward to this year because this is the first time since I've been here that I'm coming into the season not coming off of surgery. And this I am so looking forward to this. And then in the last game of the preseason, he opposing tackle in a scrimmage against San Jose, and he hurts his tibial plateau,
mm-hmm.
and then is hurt and misses the start of the season. And then he gets in a couple of games, and then this happens.
Yes.
And so he's doing whatever he can to play, and
he got his wisdom teeth taken out.
He got his wisdom teeth taken, but it's
it is awful, and you hate to see somebody go through this. Also, because he's not really like close to his home. He's not close to family, and that's also really hard.
Yeah, yeah. If I were talking to Klaus, he was talking about how good it was that his dog was able to get to America this time. Last year, his dog had to stay behind in Brazil, but this year the dog is here, and so how good it is to come home every day to his wife and his dog.
I'm glad he included his wife in that sentence.
Actually, his wife was first. His wife.
Well,
was just a,
well you know what
he,
I mean.
He gave a lot of credit to his wife, but then I think I brought up the dog. Then anyway.
Well, no, and there, all of these players, not all of them, but the ones who come in from internationally and mm-hmm. come into, frankly, a political environment and a strange city, mm-hmm. I'm sure that they go through a lot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Did I mention talking to Timo Baumgartel about his driver's license?
No.
I said, how's the addition, the transition going? He said, well, you know, I've got a place to live now. I don't have any furniture, so I'm sleeping on the floor, so it's like I'm, 18 again. And I said, did you get your driver's license? He said, yes, I got my driver's license. So, and because Klaus had told me once that he's got three driver's licenses now because mm-hmm. he's got his Brazilian driver's license. He got the one he got in Europe, mm-hmm. and then he had to get one here because Missouri doesn't recognize any of the other. Europe didn't recognize the South American license, and uh-huh. and Missouri doesn't recognize the other two driver's licenses. Huh. So he's had to constantly get new driver's licenses.
So that means do they have to take the test in
yes.
order to? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
They have to take the test, and so they have to take both the driving and the written test.
Oh no.
And they will tell you that the driving test, not a problem. They've been driving. They don't do that. But it's the written test,
yeah.
which is the killer, because when the test says, how many feet do you need to stay behind the car in front of you?
And they have to go, okay, wait, yards, no, meters, no, wait, feet.
And you're doing all these things in your head about, distances and like that. That's that's the killer for them is things that are in, the traffic signs are the same.
Right, yeah.
But
does the team not have practice tests?
The team does have practice tests.
I think that would be kind of a fascinating interview with the people who have to okay, welcome to America. Here's all the paperwork you need to fill out. So.
And apparently in Missouri, mm-hmm. and you can take the written test twice mm-hmm. on the same day. So if you do it and don't get the necessary score, you can immediately go back and take it again.
Right.
And you can have study, what did I get wrong, and do it again. Much like when we have to take our online employee cybersecurity
yes.
tests,
which we should not speak more of because of recent events.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the idea that we have to take cybersecurity tests is so ironic that we will move on.
We will move on. But anyway, but those are the challenges that.
Yes, yeah. So Baumgartel apparently had trouble with the written test.
But he did. But he very proudly said that he passed it. He did pass it on the first try. I know others on the team who did not pass on the first try. But
I did not pass my driver's test on the first two tries. So, but that mm-hmm. was several years ago.
Yeah. So this is a team that's got to put things together, and with all of the injuries, and maybe some of them are back this week, but also maybe none of them are back this week.
Right.
And
they're facing really good teams coming up. It's
yeah.
not when you want to be having problems and having these types of problems, because they could only be compounded by facing these teams.
And they had these problems before the injuries hit.
Right.
This is a team, let's be
this
Frank
has
here.
Been a low-scoring team.
This team has played seven games this season and has been shut out in five of them.
Right.
And, first two, then they scored in two, then shut out in three. And so, they have been shut out more than they have not been shut out. And it's surprising because, as we've said before, this team was scoring goals at the end of last season.
They finished last season so strong. In the goal scoring and in the offense. Like last season, the problem wasn't the offense, it was the defense. Well, we flipped it, mm-hmm. and they've gotten better, but they're not getting better fast enough.
Yes. And one of the reasons the defense has gotten better, and I think we've said this before, is because
there's more of them.
when you're playing eight defensive guys and three attacking guys, your defense is going to be better.
Yes.
That's just kind of how it's the math.
But how long can you play that lineup when your three attacking guys aren't scoring, and you don't have a consistent person who can, who you know, okay, he's good for a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Every game, he's going to score. We don't have that. The team doesn't have that. So what has to happen here?
Yeah, and the transfer window is open through April 22nd, which is 2 weeks from today, if my calendar here is correct.
Yeah.
Today's the 8th, so that's 14 days from now. I don't know that I see this team making a move there.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe if they get shut out another time that you have to think what can – but because we saw saw 2 years ago when Giochini left and said, look, this is just a tough time to find somebody.
Right.
You're not – you know, it's not like, oh, yeah, we'll just go and get this guy and bring him over. Anybody you would want, you're probably not getting until the summer transfer window at this point. So, you know, they've got to get – Toyert and Hartle and Klaus and Betcher and Pompeu
clicking again
to click and make things happen and score goals and get the chances higher. And that's one of the things, you know, I forget if it was, it might have been Hartle who said, yeah, well, yeah, if you got 10 chances in a game, that's better than having 5 chances in a game. And so that's what they got to do is they got to get – you know, they've got to get more of those chances. And then you have more room, you know, to maneuver.
You have more room to have those misses.
Yeah.
Because if you're, you know, it's you have to start getting the offense moving and making those chances.
Yeah, I'm looking at where City ranks in shots. And they're kind of in the middle of the pack on shots with 79 and Toronto, which is bad, has 56, and at the top, San Jose has 122. But then you look at shots on target, which, you know, so requiring somebody to make a save. City there is closer to the bottom. They're, you know, and they're not way down at the bottom, but only 25 shots on goal in 7 games. So that is 3.5 shots on goal per game.
Right. And and that is, that's emblematic of the problem here. They're not creating those chances. They're not getting those shots on goal. So they're not scoring.
And, you know, passing percentage numbers can be very misleading because you see a team like City brings the ball into the back and the center backs, Kessler passes to Yarrow, who passes to Kessler, who passes to Lund, who then passes. Anyway, but passing percentage, City's fourth from the bottom in that at 80.2%. So in a number that can become artificially high, theirs is low. So that's something to, you know. And finally, directly behind them, though, in San Jose is Philadelphia, which is – gotten much more out of its passes than City SC has.
I need a heat map for the passes.
Yeah, we do that.
If
we
could a heat get map, them, by the way, shows where on the field certain things
happen.
Yes.
It's still early.
It's still early. I don't think there's a reason for fans to pull out the arrows and point to the goal in the supporter section, which I still think is one of the funnier videos I've ever seen. But I think that, you know, what was a trend is only extending.
This is clearly, at this point in time, a trend.
Yes.
I mean, this counts full-fledged as a trend. And
full-fledged and becoming even more of an all caps problem.
And after Sunday's game against Columbus, that'll be a quarter of the season. Which gives them, admittedly, 3/4 of the season to get things going. But it's still a quarter of the – that is a legitimate amount of time in a season.
The season is no longer young.
No, it is not. The season is a young adult.
The averages, when you look at the team and you look at the averages, they've played enough games that the numbers are beginning to show definite trends and problems. And yes, the defense is better. They can't win games on defense alone.
No. You went to see City 2 on
I did.
On Sunday.
Yes, yes, I did. My nephews and my sister and brother-in-law went to see City 2. It was a fun game. I very much enjoyed it.
Got to see a red card to Brendan McSorley.
Yeah. Well, that was ridiculous. Come on. But also just seeing the field from such a different point of view than I'm used to. You know, I'm used to the press box, or I've only ever sat in the 200 level. And being able to sit like 10 rows away from the field, the game looks totally different. it's definitely a fun experience, though, to see.
As someone who spent many years watching hockey games from on high, mm-hmm. when you watch a hockey game from like the first 5 or 10 rows mm-hmm. at Enterprise Center, boy, is it is something. How fast things move and how quickly things happen
yes.
there.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. I was looking at City SC's shot creation, and their shot creation per 90 minutes is in the bottom third of the league. But high, so they're right around maybe the 20 spot. Yeah. As I look at this,
I think the team certainly has the potential to improve. It's not a situation where, like what we were looking at last year in terms of, but there's no players left type of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The team can improve. The question is when will they fit the pieces together and start that improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, because that is something they need to. That's something they really need to do. I was looking for expected goals totals for the team here. Give me 1 second while I look for those. Okay, yeah. So expected goals, City SC is. I'll start at the bottom. So much simpler that way. 30, 29, 28, 27, 26. Yeah, 24th in the league in expected goals. So, I mean, 7.2 expected goals. They've scored 4, you know.
Yeah,
and so,
okay.
And actually that's kind of almost the same as what they're defensively are.
Mm-hmm.
They have, I think they've, their defensive expected goals is around 7,
mm-hmm.
And they've allowed 4. So it's, they're kind of the same on both ways. They are.
Right.
They are underperforming offensively and overperforming defensively, but also not by a gross amount. but 7, I mean, that's, you know, the teams that are down there where they are, New England, Houston, Toronto, the Galaxy, Sporting KC, Montreal, and then St. Louis, those are not, at this point in time, the elite teams in MLS.
Unexpectedly so for at least one of those. But
yes.
Yeah. 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 And unfortunately, I mean, it's too bad that we're not able to say, oh, but there might be a light at the end of the tunnel. They're playing a really bad team in the mm-hmm. next 2 weeks because they're not.
They
just
not.
Finished playing that team and they lost.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's what makes Saturday's performance look so bad.
Yeah.
In terms of
yeah.
of the seasons.
Yeah. And, you know, there were stretches where Sporting KC outplayed them in part mm. because City was playing too defensively.
Mm-hmm.
They were too much in a low block and they were in the back. And so Kansas City had good pressure early on. And you could see early on, I think, in that game, that Kansas City wasn't good because Kansas City got the ball into dangerous positions and didn't get shots off, mm-hmm. you know, and then would, you know, decide, well, we got a better option here. No. And then next thing you know, they're playing the ball back to the goalie. And so there were, you know, Kansas City had its definite issues in that game, and City couldn't take advantage of them.
Right.
And there are some games, and you'll have that, where you play well and you don't score, but that was a game they should have won.
So on that note.
On that note, thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for subscribing to the Post-Dispatch.
Hopefully we'll have better news for you at some point.
At some point in time, that will happen.
Someday.
Who knows? Someday that will happen. But we're making no promises.
No.
For producer Ali Shallert, for Beth O'Malley on the other side of the microphone, and for me, Tom Timmerman, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, be seeing you.